Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Sometimes it seems we'll touch that dream, and the one.
Yo, Yaren, line up the split,
it's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station. Someone play young Lauren like she done. But remember not to game the one of the sun. Everything you did has already been done. I know all the tricks from bricks to kingdom. My kingdom, major kingdom, one wrong. To understand El Boogie, not violent. But different things test me, run to me, gun. Gun, take a threat to me, new one. Been this way since creation. A groupie call you far from temptation. Now you on ball over separation. Tarnish my image in the conversation. Who you gon' scrimmage like you the champion? You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. Now, how come your talk turned cold? Gain the whole world for the price of your soul. Grab hold of what you can't control. Now you all floss for the sight to behold. Wisdom is better than silver and gold. I was hopeless, now I'm on home road. Every man wanna act like he's exempt. Need to get down on his knees and repent. Can't slick talk on the day of judgment. The movement similar to a serpent. Try to play straight, how your whole self been? Consequences, no coincidence. Hypocrites always wanna play in the sand. Always wanna take it to the full out extent. Always wanna make it seem like good intent. Never wanna face it when it's time for punishment. I know you don't wanna hear my opinion. There's how many paths and you must choose one. And if you don't change, then the rain soon comes. So you might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just won one. You might win some, but you just might win. You do what go wrong. Now some might mistake this just as simple song as some don't know what they had till it's gone. Now even when you're gone, you can still be reborn. And from the night can arrive the sweet dawn. Now some might listen and some might shun. And some may think that they reach perfection. If you look closely, you'll see what you become. Cause you might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one.
First letter. What's that?
Love.
What?
Love.
How many people know any songs about love?
Right here.
Yeah, I know a lot about love.
Tell me some titles. Titles. What's some songs?
Love.
Is a song called Love?
Yeah.
No song called Love.
It's by Kirk Franklin.
All right, what is it? How'd it go?
It goes love. It goes, but
that.
Okay.
Anybody else is the only song you know about love?
Well, God, I do it.
I can't hear you.
I will always love.
What about any movies about love? You know any movies about love?
Love.
Titanic. All right.
Romeo and Juliet.
Did you know that was about love or you saw that on TV?
All right, guys. Royalty, royalty, royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. This is Motivational Classroom, guys. And to those that no stranger to ear knows that Enhancing Awareness Radio is one big classroom where we learn together, grow together. We collectively, right, join to raise our awareness, right? It's one thing to know, but it's great to be aware, right? Erykah Badu has a... I am about to play, guys, but it goes along with the mission of Enhancing Awareness Radio. Here we go.
When I say good, I don't mean perfect. I mean that you're aware.
And when you say good, you mean positive.
I mean aware. Right. No good if you're not aware, even if you're positive. You can be emulating something positive. That's no good, you know. It's good when you're aware. I'm aware that I'm bad. I'm aware that I'm happy, I'm aware that I'm sad, I'm aware that I'm, you know, old, I'm aware that I'm new. You know, when you're aware, that's good. You know, that can take you to everyone.
It puts me in mind, you can have all the knowledge, all the information in the world, and still be an idiot, right? But guys, no idiots here at Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys. We love to learn together, grow together. And so today, guys, I love to share my research with you guys. Now, this is some old research, though, but I wanted to come on today in the classroom just to share this information. And as you guys always know, any lecture that I pull from anybody that I admire or honor, their links are going to be in my show notes, okay? So please go like and subscribe. Today I'm going to be using Osei Kufour and also Shavi Zane, okay? I pulled three lectures today, right? Two of them are short clips from Osei Kufour. I definitely recommend you guys go like and subscribe to his channels. He has two. He has a lot of old information that he did, and then he has some new information that, you know, he kind of currently, you know, was doing, right? About, and I mean, really, if we want to know kind of like, we deep here at Enhancing Awareness Radio, right? So, you know, we like to get different perspectives on different things, right? As we in Gemini season, right? The seven different eyes, you know, we can see six different views, but it merges into one, the seventh eye, right? Which is our first eye, you know. So anyway. We're all about, that's what ear is, you know, it's many array of different, you know, perspectives. Even when I had people as hosts here at Enhancing Awareness Radio, which I'm open to again, by the way, just email me, my link tree is in the show notes, you can email me there, but for those who may be wanting to know that. So anyhow, now, when it comes to a child incarnating, right? Well, some grand wisdom that I heard, I believe it was Dr. Deborah Blair, but he stated that no children are born into this realm. Yeah, that has to be Blair. No children are born into this realm. And so I was like, you know, it took me about a year or two, guys. I promise. It took me about a year or two to kind of, like, wait a minute, you know, I just didn't understand. What do you mean? This is a child. It's a baby. Crap, what the fuck do you mean? You know, but no, we have to look at it on a soul level. You know what I mean? Like, really, if really think about it, you guys, no children are truly born into this world. You know what I mean? There are young souls, yeah. But really, are there children born into this world, especially the babies now? It starts like with the pandemic babies. They start walking at 6 months. You know what I mean? Some of them running before they are a year old. You know, but we have to think in terms of frequency because the frequency is rising right here on this realm we call Earth. You know, and I think that's a whole different conversation. Everything that we've been taught was a lie, but not in the aspect of to be mad at, you know, somebody who was trying to influence, you know what I mean? Not giving your energy to be mad at that, but giving your energy more over to attempt to understand what is really going on. So that's why we're here. I'm here to help you, you know, begin to spark that, right? So anyhow, guys, no children are born into this realm. So you think of the babies, you think of the old souls, like, damn, that baby been here before. Like, that's not a child, you know, like, because it's not. You know, like, many of us have been here time and time again. And even myself, you guys, you know, and sometimes our soul contracts are for different reasons. And we have to begin to understand, again, right, about why are we here? But no, why are we really here? You know, not to be no doctor, lawyer, or anything like that. Or if that's what you're here for, then so what, you know, whatever, okay? But you deeply start to understand or start to balance that. And, you know, on a soul level, why are you here? On a soul level, what is your passion, right? So that's what I'm gearing to now. Now, going back into what all ties in together, but going back into I've titled the podcast C-Sections, right, because Shabby Zane has a great perspective. I know a couple of my friends who had C-Sections and all that, but is it really deeper? You know what I'm saying? Like many people, and guys, I have no children or nothing like that, but I love to research different stuff, okay? And I like to know, you know what I mean? I'm not a woman, as you can see. Well, I kind of think I have a feminine aspect about me, but I did not incarnate with a yoni, if you will. So, nor am I trying to have one, right? So, anyhow, guys, just to understand, so Osa Kapoor was talking about miscarriages years ago. And, you know, what he starts to say, like, that soul was not ready to incarnate, or really what makes sense, to be quite frank with you, is, you know, a soul can pick their incarnation. You know, they can make a unseen agreement or even a conscious agreement to incarnate, you know what I mean? Like, they would observe the soul, spirit soul, whatever, that is living and that is, you know, attempting to get birth. Because I think you kind of, well, some births are unplanned, but again, guys, this is a classroom. I'm not talking about shit that I've experienced. I'm talking about research that I've collected, right? So I feel that there's a strong sense of a soul contract, okay, that we probably don't even understand consciously, you know, like an agreement to incarnate. And when it comes to miscarriages, you know what I mean, how we understand it, you know, there may be things going on. There's so many different perspectives on that. You know, I even heard a perspective on how people are sacrificing their fetuses, you know what I mean, for gain, honey. I mean, it's nasty out here in the shadows, although, right, man. it's not a laughing matter, guys, but I mean, it's you know, we'll be amazed at the things that happen or the agreements that are being made. But anyhow, guys, on a healthy note, right? Miscarriage is like, you know, that if something was off key to where that soul could not incarnate or did not want to incarnate at that time. So many people, I have a friend who actually tried to get pregnant again. And, I mean, you know, she actually got pregnant right back, you know, like right after, and actually had the baby. So, you know, it's my point is that do we expand our minds and say, okay, wait, this may be something deeper. Even how we understand death, because I think Ose is about to go into spiritual animals and death, you know. But he's going to kind of introduce it. Into, you know, and then C-Sessions. Anyway, these are just different perspectives, guys, to get you to open your mind to even do your own research, okay? I did my research for years on this, and I've come to the conclusion that all of this shit is spiritual. You know what I mean? Like, it's deeper than, you know, and when we begin, I think ultimately we start to want to understand our physical purpose, but ultimately we get the gift, because it's a gift, y'all. We get the gift to start to understand our soul's mission and purpose, right? So let's just take a look and see. I'm going to let these two short lectures from Osaka 4, and we'll go into what Shabby Zane has to say about C-sections.
What you eat determines your outcome of you crossing over at death. I'm going to say that again. What you eat determines the outcome of you crossing over at death. A lot of people are stuck here because they are tangled with animal spirits that they have digested from the food. And they can't cross over because the animal hasn't crossed over yet, and you are attached to that animal, the spirit of that animal. A lot of y'all don't know that you have energy, spirit of animals inside of your kidney, your liver, your pancreas, your spleen, your spine, your vertebrae, your blood. And it's confusing your DNA. It's confusing your biochemical structure. Then you wonder why you're sick, why you're confused. A lot of y'all not even thinking for yourself because you got things inside of your body that's controlling your frontal lobe cortex. The frontal lobe of your brain, right, that is a sensitive area where consciousness can get in there and actually entice you to do things that you don't know that you are doing. It can make you emotional. It can make you aggressive. A lot of women don't overstand. And I might sound crazy to some of y'all, but so be it. But a lot of women who's overweight, who eat a lot of flesh, who can't have babies, the spirit that you are trying to bring forth to this world and this egg, the spirit of that animal is attacking what you are trying to bring forth. And so therefore, you end up having a miscarriage. Because it's in there attacking your reproductive system and that force that you're trying to bring to life, that child that you're trying to bring to life, that you're trying to conceive. The spirit animals are in there attacking you. And you can't have babies. And they tell you it's a miscarriage. To give you some old basic terminology of something that you really don't understand, that is a deeper meaning to a miscarriage. It's spiritual. When a baby comes in and you miscarriage, something was attacking you. When you stress, stress is a force. It's a constant force. Stress is not just some symptoms in the body. Stress is a demon. It's a spirit that you bring forth out of how you think. The people you deal with, the food that you eat, you creating spirits in your body, good and evil spirits. And so that's why when you're pregnant, and they say that when you're stressed, the baby can be harmed, it's deeper. You create spirits to harm the baby in the form of emotions. Emotions is real. It's alive. That's why people can feel other people's emotions when they're around, because emotions are spirits. They are actual either demons or entities that you bring forth by how you think. That's why they say, watch how you think. Because you are what you think. You become what you think. If you think fearful, if they can put fear in you, and you bring it to life, that fear makes you sick. Because fear is a low frequency of demon. Then you alter frequency of emotions and put it in your food. Which the animal already do it anyway before you kill it because it's already in fear. A lot of y'all don't know that what you eat can make you come back. You won't go into a high level of consciousness to have a better body. What you learn here graduates you into a better life. You want to know how I know? Because it's called cause and effect. What you do affects what happens next. What you do now affects what happens the next minute or tomorrow or whatever, you know, time, however you want to say. But you have to stop looking at things as being basic. Everything that you do is connected to the unseen, even how you think. The things that you eat is connected to the unseen. They can engineer your food to be stressed. The ingredients that you can't pronounce, you don't even know what you're eating. They can put enzymes in your food and construct it to be stress signals. And you put it into your body and wonder why you're stressed and feeling tired after you eat. These animals are body snatching you. And because you are aware that you are yourself, you don't think that something else could be taking over you at the same time that you are yourself. Black Science TV, when I love you, I'm thinking for I'm out. Peace.
Man, that was good. Yes. I miss his lectures. But that's interesting, guys. And even you know, his point as far as it relates to the podcast is that you know, we are what we eat, right? You know what I mean? And even I'm guilty of not eating healthy as I could or will be, right? But as far as your diet and then, you know, kind of equating that with the spirit realm as far as bringing forth a child could be very important, right? So, again, his information is in the show notes, guys. Please like and go subscribe to his channel. And let's see this next one. Hold on.
I'm back at y'all again.
There's also, you know, again, deeper meanings to these things. So I hope that these perspectives kind of help you, spark you to do your own research and expand your mind, right?
Right. Black Science, TV 111, Osaka 4. I'm back at y'all again. Today I'm coming to talk about miscarriage and the meaning of death. Miscarriage and the meaning of death. I know it's been a while since I've done a video, but today the spirit came through and they put it on my heart to give you all this message. Now, what is a miscarriage? Yes, miscarriages happen due to physical oppression and abuses, but we have to look at the deeper aspects of what they are connected to beyond what we are here, what we call the fourth dimension, the condensed spirit realm. Because right now we are condensed inside of a physical body of flesh, which helps to cook us or evolve us into higher dimensions and planes. All of us can go to other planes, but I don't want to get off subject. Look at this. Now, if I was to die today, right, that means that I was already being conceived 9 months in another dimension, in another womb of somebody else. Don't let this go over your head. 9 months before today, I was conceived in another realm or another lifetime by somebody else. So for me to die today would mean that I was already conceived somewhere else. So right now I'm in another realm in somebody's womb kicking. When I go to sleep and dream and go to other dream worlds, I could be visiting my next lifetime. You could be visiting your next lifetime. So for the mere fact that I was born November the 13th in this dimension means that I died in my last lifetime, November the 13th. Now, what does this have to do with miscarriages? Well, when we die out from this realm and our people cuff us and hold us, right? And they'd be like, oh, my baby, your mother, for example, she over top of you and got shot. Oh, my baby, and he got shot. Please, Lord, don't take my baby. She don't understand that she's doing a ritual that's keeping you from being able to cross over. So now you are trapped on this realm. And the womb that you are being conceived in the next lifetime that you're supposed to left from here on that day for your birthday, she had a miscarriage. Stick to what I'm saying. Why did she have a miscarriage? Why were you miscarriage in the next life that you're supposed to went through after this life? Because upon you leaving, at the time of you being shot or a car accident or et cetera, there were people around you crying, holding you back with the frequency of fear. See, we don't understand that we exist in many forms, not just physical. We have other personalities in the form of energy. Everything is energy, right? The only thing is energy. Everybody is connected to a different force or higher being, so to speak. So whatever date that you die in this life will be your birth date in the next life. If you die 9 months from today, that means you're being conceived today that you will be born in the next lifetime 9 months from now. But if along the way of these 9 months gestation periods that you are being carried in that lifetime while you are here, you are stagnating or you are building negative karma for yourself, that person that's supposed to give birth to you in that next life will miscarriage you. Think about what I'm saying. Now, these are the signs that I answer.
All right, hold on. Good. can go like and subscribe to his channel for more. He does have more videos there. Great videos, guys, on the topic. But let's go ahead. This lecture I'm playing next is an hour long, guys. I did listen to it, but it says C-section agenda, delay the birth of the messiahs. So, again, soul contracts and how, you know, many of the, quote, gods, you know, incarnate into these bodies. You know what I mean? Like they have a soul out of this world, but they're in this little bitty shot. You know, that's the real Lucifer falling from heaven. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we don't have to look at Lucifer as a bad thing, but it's really spiritual sciences that are being taught. But we have to have a deeper eye in order to observe and really kind of put this shit together, right? But there's also in the background, in the, I always like to say the shadows, right? There are always other dark worlds, you know, the underworld within this realm, you know what I mean, that have agendas, guys, you know, really. So, again, to be aware, right? It's not just, you know, hocus pocus, like, you know, spookism, you know what I mean? It's just, like, to really be aware about some of the shit that may really be going on. So Shabby's answer is going to talk about C-sections, guys, and I thought it was important to do this classroom. I've been putting it off, but I thought it because I'm like, okay, I don't have kids. Like, this is not my topic, you know. But really, I wanted to put it together because I'm like, okay, wait, this is important, you know what I mean? So a lot of these podcasts are important. I don't really know what I'm talking about sometimes. And that's the purpose of Enhancing Awareness Radio being in a classroom is because I like to learn and grow with you guys. So C-sections, guys, I want to listen to this a second time because it's really interesting. Go like and subscribe to Shabby Zane's channel as well. Shabby Zane, Shabby Zane Tarot Investigator is the name of her channel. C-H-H-A-B-I. I don't have my glasses on, y'all. Z-A-I-N-E. Again, going to be in the show notes, guys. But, yeah, go. She's an oracle, you know, in tarot reading. So, I've gotten some readings from her. So, she's amazing. But check her out. So, anyway, guys, let's go ahead and get into the lecture. C-section agenda. So, it want to act funny right now, but that's okay.
Yes, it's time. I hope everybody is doing well, staying grounded and balanced. So today's message is actually in regards to something that came to me when I woke up out of my sleep. It wasn't in a dream. It was what I heard coming up out of sleep. I was actually taking a nap, and the first thing that I heard was I need to look into why the enemy has put such great emphasis on women having C-sections. And what I heard right after that was that the agenda is to prevent the divine masculine and feminine from being able to come together and to bear children, to bear offspring. Because as you know, concerning the divine masculine and feminine, these are two people that come together after healing. These are two people that come together after finding balance and finding that divine connection with the Most High. These are two people who have found their balance with their masculine and feminine energy. These are two people that recognize that they are gods and goddesses, kings and queens. And so with that understanding, these people have literally transformed themselves, okay? They have shifted their thought processes. They have released and freed themselves from the matrix. And so every part of their DNA expression is going to be a direct result of who they have become, who they have transformed into. Just like when you're not healed, every part of your DNA expression is a manifestation of who you are in your unhealed state. And so then you tend to bear children who come in, who come into the world having to try and break free of a lot of the damage that could have been caused based on the way that you thought about yourself, based on the way that you thought during the pregnancy or during conception, and just in general, because obviously once they get here, then they have a whole other issue, which would deal with the conditioning in terms of their environment. So it's starting from the implantation, from the sperm to the egg, from conception to the development within the womb of the mother to them coming into the world. So the enemy, the largest agenda has been against divine couples, divine partnerships, to keep them separated, okay? The agenda, that's why you've been hearing so much in regards to karmic partners versus your divine partner, because the agenda now is more at the forefront now because people are starting to awaken, okay? The more healed people that you have, these people recognize that they're not meant to be with someone who is in karmic energy or someone who is functioning in a low vibrational energy, which is generally that of a karmic person. They're meant to be with someone who is functioning on the same level as them and who has that same divine connection and who has that same outlook on life and spirituality and knowing that this is all about functioning from a space of love and integrity and power, knowing your power and your strength and your purpose. And so the enemy did not want us to, first of all, the enemy did not want us to awaken to heal ourselves on an individual scale. But even far greater than that, the enemy did not want us to come together, divine partnership, because that would produce messiahs, okay? That would produce children who come in already in Christ consciousness, children who come in already, you know, their DNA is already activated. Okay, their spiritual gifts are already awakened, and then they're being brought up in a in an environment by two people who get it, two people who understand keeping the energy light, keeping the energy in a space of love, staying in integrity, staying in their power, knowing who they are. Okay, and so this is the greatest fear of the enemy, and so what I heard in terms of the C-section, I was told to do some research on this because I know from my own personal experience, I do have six children, but my very first child, obviously I had never experienced bearing a child before, giving birth to a child before, and after a few hours, the doctors came in, and they were strongly advocating that I go and get a C-section. And I'm very happy that I stood my ground in terms of my decision, because even though it was very uncomfortable and I felt like I didn't know what I was doing, it was something within me that said, no, I'm going to push through this and I'm going to deliver my child the natural way, okay, or as natural as possible, because when you deliver a child in the hospital, it really is taken away from the natural form of giving birth, which is generally like in a squatted position. That's the most comfortable way because the child can come out, you know, with gravity. But in the hospital, they lay you down in a bed. You got your feet propped up. You're all uncomfortable. And it's like the child has to come out going against gravity. And then you got all these bright lights and all of these people and noise. And it's just a lot of chaos. And it's a traumatic event for a child just coming through naturally through the birth canal. But it's even more of a traumatic event when a child is of the mother, okay? Because consider, I'm going to go into some of the statistics and the facts here based on certain evidence that I was able to pull up, but consider being that child in the womb of your mother, and you've been growing there, you've been feeding from her, you've been, you know, nesting there, okay? That's where the baby is most comfortable. And generally during the natural phase of childbirth, the child is the one that initiates the process of coming into the world, because once the mother begins to have the contractions, that's the baby letting her know, I'm ready to come into the world. However, if you expedite the process to the degree where, because most people that get a C-section, first of all, it's scheduled. They give you a specific date. So 9 times out of 10, you're not even going in with contractions at all. That baby is literally just in your womb resting, okay, continuing in its growth stage and very comfortable within the mother's womb. And then suddenly you have someone who cuts open your mother's stomach and pulls you out of her belly. You come in into these bright lights and all of these different people, cold hands and all of these voices, and then they immediately cut the umbilical cord, and, you know, you're away from the mother for an extended period of time. Or if they do allow the baby to come to the mother, you know, they'll lay it on the mother's chest just for a moment while they're sewing her up. But for the most part, the baby is away from the mother while they're doing the procedure for sterile reasons, right? And so it's a very traumatic entrance into the world. And so that does something to the psyche of the baby, even though that child is just being born. It takes it away from, it strips it from the natural process of coming through with the assistance of the mother, okay, the two of them working together to bring this child into the world. And it does something also in terms of to the mother who loses the experience of being able to share that moment with her child of literally bearing it and pushing it out of her womb into the world. You see what I'm saying? And so there's a lot that's lost at that moment when a woman goes through a C-section. And then on top of that, you have to consider that most of these doctors, they come up with this idea that once a woman has three C-sections, she generally shouldn't have any more children because at that point she's at a high risk of causing issues with the placenta growth and ruptured placenta and all of these different things, okay, hemorrhaging and all of these different things. That scar tissue becomes thicker each time they cut it. So they generally recommend that you go through three C-sections. So unfortunately, when a woman goes in, let me just tell y'all what I have here because this is what kind of blew my mind. It didn't, but it did at the same time, okay? So first of all, in the 19th century, fewer than 10% of births took place in a hospital. So in the 19th century, most people was not even going to a hospital to bear the children, okay? They had midwives or doulas that took care of the mother as she was bringing her child into the world. So only 10% of people were going into the hospital in the 19th century, fewer than 10%. By 1938, over half of all babies in the U.S. were born in a hospital by 1938. Then it skyrocketed by 1955. Okay, that's less than 20 years later. By 1955, the number skyrocketed to 90%. So I wonder what happened between 1938 to 1955 with such a drastic increase of people are now trusting the hospital. Because one thing that I did see was that because of the method that they used initially, because they were so ignorant to the birth, the natural birth of a child, okay, these people were definitely rookies pretty much in everything that they did, but they were so ignorant to the process of the natural birth of a child that they used to use the forceps, I think that's what they call the forceps. It looked like a tongue or something that you would use to pick up some fried chicken, okay? They used to use that to squeeze the around the head or around the neck or shoulders, wherever they was using it, to pull the baby out. So these cold forceps, and you cut them in and you snatch them out with this hard, cold steel or metal, whatever it is, and you pull them out. That's very traumatic. And they were finding that more deaths have actually taken place, more maternal deaths, so the mothers was actually suffering from, dying, giving birth to their children because of infection. They would ultimately become infected because the sterility, they was not sterile, okay, and they was very messy. They wasn't using sterile techniques and things of that nature, using these forceps to go in and to pry these babies out of the mother. So the event was very traumatic, and it caused a lot of infections and death as a result of it. It was actually more deaths initially. And then the numbers began to decrease in terms of the numbers of maternal deaths as they started to put more emphasis on sterile techniques. But just consider the fact that I don't know if these numbers were being put out into the public because who would feel comfortable continuing to go to a hospital where it's clear that they're rookies, they don't know what they're doing. Y'all was doing perfectly fine when you was having the babies at home with the midwife or the doula, and giving birth in a comfortable environment, but suddenly the numbers skyrocket. Everybody wants to go to the hospital where people are initially dying because they didn't know what they were doing. And so it was almost like an experimental procedure, which is what most of these people do. They start off with, you know, you're the experiment, you're the lab rat, you're the guinea pig to the experiment, and so they use you, and so many people die as a result of them not knowing what they're doing until they say, oh, okay, now we're seeing that the death rate is decreasing, and so we can say that this is now working. That's some backwards-ass stuff, if you ask me. But back to what I was saying here, let's see. This says, according to Consumer Reports, to a Consumer Reports study, 1 in 3 American babies are born via cesarean. This is in 2017. 1 out of every 3 are born through a C-section. Now, get this. It's saying at least 26% of healthy women with a low-risk pregnancy and a full-term baby positioned head first. This is not a breech baby. The baby is positioned head first. It's full term, so the woman has carried this baby for full term. She's completely healthy, completely low-risk pregnancy, okay, low-risk factors. Typically, these women, 26% of them, end up getting C-sections, okay? And they're considered to be completely equipped to deliver vaginally, but they still end up undergoing C-section. Now, consider again that these C-sections, they did not begin until, let me see, the modern C-section procedure really emerged around 1940, and it remained under 5% around 1940. It was about maybe 5% of women that would get a C-section around 1940. Now, I believe the numbers is up there to about 32% of women who go in to have a baby, even if they're completely healthy, the baby is, you know, head first, full term, healthy, low-risk women that can have vaginal birth still end up getting a C-section. And I can say from my own personal experience, I was completely, obviously in a position to be able to have a regular vaginal birth because that's ultimately what I did, but these people still were pushing, because I had a few doctors that came in, you sure you don't want to get a C-section? I mean, I really think that you should do this because, you know, it seems like they kept on saying that it was too narrow for the baby to come through. Well, obviously, I'm equipped in order to allow things to spread, you know, it's going to eventually happen. But see, a lot of these doctors, first of all, there is payout. They get more money for doing the surgical procedure. But I strongly feel that because the way this message came through to me to go and do this research is that they're doing this too. It's also population control, okay? It's an underhanded way of having population control because most women, after 3 children, they automatically assume, well, I'm just going to go ahead and get my tubes tied because I don't want to risk having a complication trying to give birth, because these doctors, they pretty much scare you with, well, your placenta might rupture and you might have all of this, that, and the third, even though there was also a study that revealed that after 4 C-sections, literally 4 C-sections, there was at least 89 women, I guess this was a study, that 89 women had vaginal birth from that point because, you know, they knew that to cut again would be cutting over that scar tissue again. And so these women ultimately had a vaginal birth. 89 of them had vaginal birth, and 89 of them had 0 complications. So 100% of these women who they were monitoring after 4 C-sections had vaginal birth and had absolutely no complications. And so many women end up getting fooled and tricked into thinking through scare tactics that they need to go and get their tubes tied to completely stop them from having any more children from that point on, out of fear of high risk factors, when in fact that particular study proved that these women can still have vaginal deliveries and do it very safely, okay? Now, obviously, there's other factors that might, you know, if you have, like, high risk situations, then I would say, okay, then I understand having to go through that type of emergency procedure. But for me, a C-section should only be used, it should only be utilized as an absolute emergency procedure. We're talking about here, and this could be undermining the actual report in terms of statistics, 26% of completely healthy women, completely healthy pregnancies who are completely given the green light to have a vaginal delivery end up having a C-section. And from that point on, you already know they're going to end up having another C-section, then another C-section, and then at that point, they stop right there. Most of these women have 3 children and they're out, okay? And so this is not even factoring in all of the other things in terms of the high risk factors. All of a sudden, African-American women are 3 to 4 more times likely to die during delivery than white women. This is new, okay? Because even when I worked as a registered nurse, I found that I had too many patients to feel comfortable that would end up in these long-term care facilities completely in a vegetable state, brain dead and everything, with a newborn baby. The mother or the grandmother or the family, the father of the child will be bringing the baby in to place the child on the chest of these young women. I'm talking about early 20s, 30s, laying newborn babies on their chest because they have had, they went through some sort of preeclampsia or had some sort of stroke or, you know, went brain dead in the midst of giving birth to their children. Now, I strongly believe, based on my own experience with delivering with my last child, that there is a strong agenda to create that type of scenario, okay? Because for those of you who have children, many of you know that Pitocin, this is a medication that is given to actually help to induce contractions, okay, to really get the contractions going to kind of pick up the pace so that you're able to deliver the child. When I was delivering my last child, these people were pumping me up with so much damn Pitocin. I mean, the contractions were coming like this, boom, 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 that I might have had a break for 2 seconds, boom, boom. It was so painful and so uncomfortable that for the first time ever doing a delivery, like I told you, I got 6 children. For the first time ever doing a delivery, I looked over at their father and I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it, okay? That's literally how I felt. And so that's not even including the things that they did afterwards in terms of other complications. But these people, I feel like the agenda is largely to create a traumatic situation, okay, to exacerbate the delivery process or to exaggerate the delivery process so much so that it caused the person to go into shock. It caused the body to go into shock because it's so far away from the natural way of delivery, okay? And so let me see if I have anything else here before I start pulling out the cards, because I want to dig deep to see what is this all about. Okay, I strongly feel that I already know in terms of, but let's just consider in the 1950s or around the 1940s is when C-sections became more popular, more prevalent, more well-known, the modern way of doing it. Then now you got up to 32% of women who are getting C-sections even when they don't need them. At least 26% of them don't need it at all. About 32% of women who deliver babies are having C-sections, okay? So a small fraction need it, but you have the majority that don't need it, right? And so the woman to having 3 children. Now, trust and believe that the so-called powers that were, the enemy was very well aware of the time that we are in now, the age of Aquarius. They was anticipating this time to arrive, okay? And so now that we are here, leading up to this time, the whole agenda has been to prevent messiahs, to prevent empowered gods and goddesses from being born through the vessels of those who would ultimately awaken at this time, okay? And so with that being said, you got, let's consider many of the goddesses who had children already, right? They had children prior to their awakening at this time. So let's just say maybe, you know, you woke up about 3-4 years ago. Some of y'all have been awake for a long time, longer time than that, but I'm finding that it's a common theme that many people are reporting that within the past at least 5 years or less is when they really have come into awakening. And so I strongly feel like that is the shift that has taken place, you know, the shift in the planetary alignments, the shift in the age that we're in, it's under the age of Aquarius, from the age of Pisces, and all of these different factors, okay? The powers that were anticipated this time, and so the goddesses who have already had 3 children, right? They ended up falling for the you both in terms of having C-sections because of the recommendation of their doctor, who we have been conditioned and brainwashed to trust because they have on a lab coat and because they have a certain title and because they smile at you, then it's like they must be telling you the truth. They can't have an ulterior motive for what they're doing, right? They must mean you well. And so many people, out of their own ignorance, okay, and I don't feel that it is their fault, okay? It is definitely the enemy who has tricked and bamboozled the chosen, okay, and many of the goddesses into doing this. But I say this to say, these women, okay, let's say they have their three children. They've already gone and tied their two. But now they're fully awakened, they're healed, they're walking in their purpose, and they're anticipating the union between themselves and their divine masculine, okay? Gods and goddesses coming together, right? Time the divine masculine gets to them, the agenda of the enemy is that woman and that man will not be able to come together to create that Messiah that will come through their vessel, okay? Because the enemy anticipated and understood that as these unions come together, first of all, they're going to do everything possible to prevent them from coming together all the way across the board, even if that means using one against the other, whatever that might look like, or placing one in a position where they're so fixated on materialism that they can't come out of that energy enough to be able to heal, to rise higher than the matrix and material. I'm sorry, y'all. Somebody just sent me something. I wasn't expecting that. To rise higher than the matrix and to see things from a more spiritual perspective, they get so caught up in materialism that they are repelled damn near by a healed woman, okay, a healed goddess. I mean, they might be intrigued by them, but they have a hard time visualizing themselves being with their person. So the enemy does create many stumbling blocks to prevent the unit from coming together in the first place. But one of the greatest weapons that they have come up in terms of using against the divine partnership is to create scenario where by the time they come together, they are not able to bear children together, okay? That is the agenda. And so that's where a lot of this, in terms of the jab and different things like that, is coming into play. If you go and look back at my video in terms of DNA activation or, you know, shutting down the potential of awakening that dormant DNA, especially at this time now, as you continue to rise and heal, that DNA awakens, okay? It's like the more you awaken spiritually, the more your body, you know, it follows suit. It happens in the spiritual realm first and begins to manifest in the physical, okay? And so a large part of the agenda has been so that if these two come into union, ultimately, by the time they get together, this woman has had her children. She's already coming to a space where she can no longer have any more children. And so now they cannot bear, like I said, that Messiah, that God, that goddess, okay? But the enemy is foolish to think that this will work. But consider how many women have actually placed themselves in that position out of ignorance before they were healed and awakened. And so my... feel like I'm being called to bring this message forward because this might be able to prevent someone. You might be present now and you might find yourself in this position because more than likely they're going to offer it whether you need it or not, because that just seems to be the theme at this point, okay? And so, you know, I would like to encourage any of you out there to definitely go through the natural way of giving birth, and if you can help it, do get you a midwife or a doula, okay? Because, I mean, I have six at this point. But had I been in a position of awakening, and if I knew what I knew, you know, today, back then, I definitely would have had all of my children at home with someone who would have been able to bring them into the world under a much less stressful environment and, you know, just do it naturally. But, you know, hey, I'm always open to having a seventh one with my divine masculine for sure. Okay, we'll have a number seven because that's my life path number. I'm a number seven. And number seven has always been my favorite number since I was a kid. I was a child, and I never understood why. But now I know why, because it really is my number. But either way, I want to pull the cards out because, like I told you all, I strongly believe that this is an agenda against the divine masculine and feminine, and to create a scenario where it's limiting the number of children that can be had through these partnerships, but also creating a scenario where by the time the partnerships come together, the woman, the goddess, has already shut down her womb to where she's not able to produce these awakened, highly awakened and conscious children, okay? And so consider all of the divine unions come together and we bear all of these beautiful messiahs, you know, Christ consciousness, all of these gods and goddesses. It's going to completely shift the energy, so much so that the enemy has no choice but to stand down, okay? The whole structure just comes crashing down because now we have a new generation that has been born into the world that knows who they are from the very time that they come out. And so that the agenda is to do the polar opposite of that, okay? If the enemy can keep you from even having the desire to have children, or putting you, placing you into a position where you become confused about your sexuality and you're not able to bear children based on your sexual preference, or you know, so many different factors that play a role into this. But let's just see, what is the agenda in terms of these C-sections becoming so prevalent now? Ooh, that's the way over there. Okay, look at this. This says hidden money and paid a practitioner. Okay, so these practitioners, you see what that says? These practitioners with this hidden money, I'm largely feeling that this is in regards to, you know, when these children are born in these hospitals, then you get attached to that social security number, that birth certificate, which is a actual account, okay, which is sold in the stock market, I believe, in different countries. And, you know, it's just so many different things that they're doing. They still see you as a slave. So it's almost like selling you as a slave, but you're just doing it on the stock market, okay? But there's a trust that's attached to that account. There's so many different factors. And so I feel like that hidden money, you know, that is actually attached to your name, your social security number and birth certificate. Now, these people are very well aware behind closed doors of what's happening in terms of this money, and they're using it, shelling it out amongst one another, paying these practitioners to say hush-hush about the agenda, of course, you know, but they get paid in order to continue with the agenda. And so that's why these same practitioners are going to come in and, you know, create these fear tactics or come in and say, well, you know, I strongly suggest that you get a C-section, knowing that most people who are asleep trust the doctors, okay? Now, I'm not saying that all doctors are bad. I don't think all of them have wicked intentions. However, when you are aware of the system and you remain in it and continue, I mean, obviously the only way that you can maintain your job is to maintain the actual rules and regulations, the way that things, you know, play out. And so if you are a doctor who is awakened, but you still find yourself in that position where you have to walk in and say, well, come on and get this C-section, knowing this is all going well, this person don't need no good and well, but this is going to limit the number of children that they can ultimately have, or at least make them think that it's going to limit the number of children, because most of these women are going to go and get their tubes tied in order to prevent a risky pregnancy in the future, okay? You knowing this as a practitioner, you're still very much so a quiet person that is aware of the agenda, is very much so a part of the team, okay? So this is why at this time, well, you know what, I'm not going to, let's just keep pulling, because you know how I can get when it comes to talking about these types of things, being that I have a registered nurse's license. I can't see myself contradicting what I know to be true in terms of what these people have been doing and the agenda. I've been awakened to too much, okay? So I can't see myself going and standing behind a cart and passing out a whole bunch of chemicals that ultimately is going to make them even more sick. I can't see myself in a hospital trying to encourage someone to go and get a C-section at the advice of the guy standing next to her at the bedside or in a surgical room. I can't see myself doing it, and I will not do it, okay? So this says false contract, okay? So this is also in regards to, look at this, it's at the bottom of the deck, sacrifice you, okay? So false contract, you have these contracts And consider also, when the woman is on the table, getting ready to give birth to her child, if you don't have a support system, a lot of women, especially African-American women, end up going into the hospital without someone there to really be, you know, by their side as an advocate on their behalf, right? So all you have around you is doctors and nurses who many of the practitioners are aware of the agenda. Then you have some of the nurses who are just following suit because that's just what they do. That's the procedure. We don't buck up against the doctor because, you know, we just don't do that, right? So you end up in this position where the doctor comes in, you're in all of this pain and agony, you're underneath all of these this medication, okay, to help you to soothe the pain, right? You're having all of this discomfort, and here comes the doctor with his paper. You know, why don't you sign this so that we can go ahead and take you in for your C-section because we strongly recommend that you get this based on the amount of time that it's taking and, you know, the risk factors might be increasing because you're noticing that the heart rate is fluctuating. This is a natural thing. The heart rate is fluctuating and your blood pressure is this and that and the third, right? So the woman not really thinking fully, not having a aware advocate on by her side, signs this form, not even read it. She don't read nothing that she signs, right? She just puts her signature on it, trusting that whatever the doctor is bringing to her is not something that she's signing her life away for the sake of sacrifice, okay? False contract. They bring these contracts in and have you sign things. You don't even know what the hell you're signing. All you know is that you want to get the baby out as quickly as possible for many people. And so you just sign for the sake of saying, okay, I know that this is my consent that the doctor can go ahead and do this, but you don't realize what's behind that contract. It's a false contract that is to sacrifice you, okay? And when I say sacrifice you, this is sacrificing your womb, okay? This is sacrificing your ability to give birth and to bear that child or, you know, those children that are going to come through ultimately, you know, moving forward in your awakening. That's going to be the ones that actually set the pace for the new foundation, the new kingdom. This is sacrificing, a lot of times it's even sacrificing your own, you know, your actual womb, okay? Because there's many, and not only that, but remember I mentioned that the death rate for African American women specifically, there's three to four times more likely to die giving birth now than in comparison to before. And the U.S., here in the U.S., is even higher than any other country. Maternal death is much higher than any other country, okay? Nobody is surprised by that, I'm sure. But you see that there is an agenda behind this, okay? And so if they can sacrifice you right there on that table, especially being that they know who you are, okay? I told y'all, they know who the chosen are. We talk about specifically the chosen. They know who we are, and they know that we have a strong potential of giving birth to a new Messiah, okay, or multiple Messiahs, okay? And so right there on that table, when you sign your life away and you don't know what you're signing, you don't have anybody there to read it on your behalf, and consider even if somebody was handed that paperwork, more than likely, they're being given one form that has specific things written on there, but there's more documents behind that, okay? They give you the form that you're going to read in that moment, but consider if they handed somebody the entire form, and it's about 30 stacks long, and this woman is in agony. You're in agony, ready to give birth to your child, and the person who's advocating for you has to stand there and try to read through all of this stuff. It's not going to happen. And so these people know that in that vulnerable position, sign without reading. And that's usually what happens most of the time. So you end up signing yourself away to this false contract, okay? Ain't no telling what you're saying you're willing to do in the event that something happens to your child or in the event that something happens to you, but ultimately to sacrifice you. And these are practitioners who are paid to keep quiet about this, but to also continue to push the agenda, okay? Yeah, look at this. It says, she knows and death. She knows and death, okay? So there are practitioners. This could be a a female practitioner. Look at this. Look at what's right behind that. It says children and since childhood. Children and since childhood. So you can have practitioners who have been monitoring you, because, you know, the first thing that they do when a child is born is they take the child's blood. And they say, well, we're testing the hemoglobin, and we're testing for this, and we're testing for that, just to ensure that the red blood cell count and all of this, that, and the third, right? But that doesn't mean that they're not also testing for other things. You see what I'm saying? These contracts that you sign, the language is so complicated, you know. It's so to the degree where even if you were to sit down and read all of it, most of it you would need an attorney to really break it down to you, you know, some sort of medical attorney or something like that, to break down exactly what these things mean, what you're signing yourself into, okay? They understand that the language is not in layman terms for the average person to really understand. Even as a damn being in a healthcare field, you don't always understand what the hell these damn people are talking about, because they use this colorful language in a way where they know that it will confuse most people who do not understand the agenda, okay? And so these people, they know who the chosen are from childhood. And so from the moment you come out and they prick your foot or they get that blood from you, they take it into the lab, they test it and look for this and they test it and look for that, they're monitoring, you know, they got your birth date, you know, where you was born, the time you was born, all of that is recorded. So they're using this, they're looking into your astrology chart, checking your placements to see, okay, well, what is the likelihood of this person awakening, and yada, yada, yada. Then they're also keeping track of the times. Okay, so where are we at in history? All right, we're moving closer to the age of Aquarius. It's going to be the time of the awakening. And based on this child's life path number being a number 7, they have a potential to be very powerful in terms of their spiritual nature, or as a life path number 3, whatever it is that you are, okay, they know how things will likely play out because they've been watching. You know, that's what these people do. They watch you. They, like, obsessively watch. They're stalkers, okay? And so you might have practitioners, like a doctor. Let's say you've had a childhood doctor since you were born that followed you for most of your life. Or let's just say this, whoever she knows is, she knows when these things happen in terms of death, you know, and these maternal deaths that happen. They know what's going on. They know exactly why this took place, okay? They know that they more than likely gave too much of something during the delivery phase, okay, where they could have limited that thing, or they could have been more on top of it, because they make sure that they do this in a way where, like, now when you go to maternity wards or the actual unit, they'll have the room spaced very far apart, or like the nurse's station is way far away from where the actual rooms are of the patients. And so it's that type of situation where they try to use the excuse, well, the doctors are limited. You have all of these people that get in labor as a measure to be able to keep up with everybody who's delivering. Some of them or most of them might need to go in for a C-section to expedite the process so that we can get these babies here. But behind that, the real agenda, it has nothing to do with time. It has nothing to do with the number of doctors and the number of people that's given birth. It has everything to do with the ultimate agenda to ensure that they control the number of children that you have and the duration of time that you will be able to have those children. So coming here in the age of Aquarius, by the time you get here, okay, well, you've awakened, but you tied the tubes 10 years ago. And so now you come in with your divine partnership, and can you have children? That's what they want to do. Okay, but this has been since childhood. They've been targeting children, okay, targeting children to see who is going to be the next Messiah, like I said, targeting women, to prevent. So let me see what else is coming out in terms of the agenda. Look at that, named female, targeting women, okay, named female, then you have here official person. So, yeah, these are people in positions of so-called authority, right? These people know exactly what the hell they're doing. They are they're abusing their power, again, feminine energy, knowing that ultimately this feminine will be coming into union with her masculine, okay, especially, and look at this, y'all. especially because I was just getting ready to say, especially because we're now in the year of 2022, what does that say? 2-2-2, okay? They know that we are going to be coming into our divine partnerships and union because the number two deals with balance, balancing out the scales, okay? And so when things were unbalanced, when you had many of us who were involved in karmic partnerships, that's an imbalance in the universe because you have two people that don't belong together, okay? Two people that are like oil and water. But it's not until you awaken that you come to that realization. But as long as you are functioning in that low vibrational energy, they're able to control and manipulate. But yes, 2-2-2-2022, they recognize, look at this, y'all. And this is in the reverse. This is about marriage here. They recognize that these unions are coming together, okay? They recognize that this is what's supposed to be happening and that we're coming together to create these children who are awakened, who are conscious, okay? And so, yeah, they're concerned about that. That's very concerning to these doctors and these so-called people in a position of power at this time. And so the whole agenda with this coming out in the reverse is to keep these unions apart, okay, and to do it by any means necessary. When I say by any means necessary, I mean by any means necessary. Go back and watch my last video in regards to what they are doing, the agenda of these shape-shifting lovers that come in that are being manipulated or that are the manipulators using dark magic and things of that nature to siphon the energy of the chosen and those of us who are the, because the chosen are the divine master and the feminine, okay? The chosen are the divine master and the feminine. And so the agenda is to come in and to steal the creative energy because look at this. Now we got another synchronicity. We got 2-2-2-22, and now these cards come out and we have 3-33, okay? 3-33. And threes, that deals with what? Mother, father, child, okay? Mother, father, child, okay? That's that, I don't know, I'm seeing the triangle right now. But the triangle for me, when I think about that shape, it's all about stability. That's a foundation that can't be shook, okay? That's why when they created the pyramids, they used that triangular shape because it was one that is probably the most stable of all linear configurations. You know what I'm saying? It's probably the most stable in terms of shape, you know. One that is immovable. But when you see that, 3-3-3, that's all about creation. The number three is all about creation, okay, that creative nature. And so they wanted to stifle that. They're concerned about what these unions will produce, okay? These people are concerned about what these divine unions will produce. And so this is why they come in with this agenda. What else is coming out? I just want y'all to keep this in mind. You know, if you have children or if you are pregnant or if you are wanting to, look at this, y'all. If you're wanting to have children, they want to keep the family room empty. You see this room? It's big. They got this big old house. You know, materialism is at the forefront of it all, but it's empty. Okay? Completely empty. And all you got up here is a picture of two people, and it's actually a picture of a female. It ain't even, the male is not even up there, okay? It's just a picture of two women. So staying in the ego, staying in materialism, staying in karmic relationship, staying in this mindset of fear, of having vaginal deliveries, but doing it in a way where they create the fear because you go in there with the intention of having your child naturally, and they come in, you know, once you're in all of this pain, you know, they come in with this concerned look. Well, you know, I highly recommend that it's been, you know, 15 hours that you've been pushing. No, when the child is ready to come out is when the child comes out. The only responsibility of the person who is assisting that woman to have the child is to keep her comfortable while she's giving birth, okay? But you're uncomfortable the whole time because I can recall my last pregnancy, my last delivery, the bed was completely uncomfortable. The room, as soon as you get ready to go into actually giving birth, all of these bright lights around you, they bring in all of these damn medical students. That's the most annoying part of this shit, okay? I'm sorry to say, but it really pisses me off. Okay, I had to snap on a few people. Like I said, I got six children, and so don't let all these sitting there, everybody standing around looking at your flower, okay? Everybody want to get a look, okay? And everybody want to come in and, oh, do you mind if I check to see? is your contract. Somebody else just did that 10 minutes ago. How many people are going to come in here? I'm sorry, y'all. I guess I'm just them. Maybe I should have did this when I was at the hospital last time, but I did do it, okay? But I say that to say, I just lost my train of thought because that really just pissed me off thinking about that. Just going, I just had a flashback. Look at this, y'all. But it was meant for me to do that because what does this say? False person. They want to keep you stuck. They want to keep the divine partnership, the chosen, divine masculine and feminine, stuck in false partnerships, okay? That's what they want to do. So that these unions, because this came out of reverse now, you see all of these synchronistic numbers, 222-333, to keep these unions from coming together to give birth to these beautiful baby messiahs, these Christ consciousness, these gods and goddesses that's going to ultimately come in and shake everything up and tear down the structure to rebuild a new kingdom from knowing who they are, already in their power, DNA already fully activated. And then you have these two beautiful people that have healed coming together to mold them and to, you know, help to grow and to teach them those things that we have come into awakening to understand, okay? And so, yes, they're concerned. So they're concerned. They want to keep the family room empty. So, yes, they're going to encourage. You know, they began encouraging C-sections back in the 1940s, and now it's skyrocketed to where all of these women who don't need them are having C-sections because ultimately you end up with three children, three and done, is what's happening for the most part. And so this is the agenda of these people. And so if they can keep you, like I said, by any means necessary, they're going to attach you to a false person, okay? So this will be the karmic connection, okay? False people. And another thing that came to mind, you know, I don't know why I kept hearing it, but I kept hearing Red Cross, Red Cross. There's something in about the Red Cross, because when I think of the symbol of the cross, right, that's the symbol of the sacrifice, okay? The cross is the symbol of the sacrifice of Yeshua, and it's also the masculine energy. It's like showing the sacrifice of the masculine energy, but then the Red Cross itself is actually red. The symbol for the Red Cross, the people who give the blood and the, you know, disaster and all of this stuff, disaster relief, that's what they're supposed to be about. Trust and believe, everything that glitters is not gold, because behind all of that, there is an agenda. And so those who are contracted and they have these people contracted with the Red Cross, and these people have an agenda, okay? Everybody that works with the medical system, the structure itself. But I kept hearing that, Red Cross, Red Cross. So I believe that when I think about that symbol itself, and speaking of that, it must have been meant for me to actually say that, because look at this. Up here on top of this courthouse, what y'all see right there? That's a cross, okay? That's a cross up there on top of that courthouse, okay? And so that kept coming to mind, though. So I don't know, you know, I know that when I speak on African-American women, most of them end up dying from, like, things like hemorrhaging, or when you talk about strokes, they end up giving these women a lot of this blood, okay, from multiple people. You don't know where the blood is coming from, but it's like they have a strong agenda to try to attack the DNA and the cellular makeup, the biochemical makeup of the chosen. But either way, like I said, in terms of the Red Cross, the red stands for the blood. So it's, and then the cross stands for sacrifice. If you put those two together, what do you have? Blood sacrifice, okay? And you already saw the cards come out that which mentioned sacrifice. When you sign these false contracts, you're signing off into sacrificing, okay? And so, yes, false person, false lawyers, false people that are in contract with these people, false people all the way across the board. Courthouse is here. So these are documents. These people have these documents sealed in the back. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what documents they possess in order to keep this structure going. These people know what they're doing, okay? Please believe that. And so let me just see. I'm going to clarify some of these cards. I don't want to go too long in terms of this message, but I do want to just clarify the cards that I have laid out here, and then I'm going to close out. Hopefully you all have been able to get the gist of what I'm saying and to prevent yourself from this tower, okay? Prevent yourself from experiencing something based on, you know, ignorance to the spiritual aspect of the thing, and, you know, just do your own research, go within, pray about it. So what is, let's see, about the main female. So we have here the Eight of Wands and then the Hangman in the reverse. I feel like this is that energy of being stuck. Yeah, that energy of being stuck. When we're talking about the agendas, it's that energy of being stuck, you know, all of that sexual energy that's coming through, because Eight of Wands indicates sexual energy, especially the Eight of Wands, you know, all of that sexual energy comes through. Yeah, there it is. There's another wand, okay? That's the wand itself. That's symbolic of the male phallus. And you end up being stuck in this position where you're not able to ultimately procreate with your divine partner because of their agenda. So I feel like that's really what this is. Now, what is the official person? Okay, so the official person is that energy of avoiding judgment here in regards to, you know, trying to avoid this judgment call over their head in regards to this love. Because also the Ace of Cups can deal with pregnancy, okay? This can deal with pregnancy. Yeah, manipulation is behind that. That's what this official person, these people who are a part of the governmental structure, with these positions, they know exactly what they're doing. And, oh, my gosh, y'all, I just saw this. I just spoke about the Red Cross. What do y'all see right here? The Red Cross. With this card coming out in the reverse, they try to avoid the judgment for what these people have done. This is all about blood sacrifice right here. These people, this with this, these people are begging for mercy. These people are pleading for a second chance, okay, for a second chance at life because they're being seen. Everything is stripped down. You don't have this uniform on to protect you. You don't have that title or that badge or that PhD or whatever it is that you possess to protect you, because the Most High sees all things. And so it's no coincidence that I kept hearing Red Cross, and when I see official person, excuse me, this is exactly what is coming out here, okay? And this is actually symbolic. These Roman numerals, XX, that's the number 20, okay? So there's another number 2. When we talk about 22 here, and then the main female, number two here, this is the time of judgment, okay? They've been trying to avoid judgment for what they've been doing here. They did not want the chosen to awaken. They did not want us to rise up because, see, the biblical text speaks on us being dead, okay, being asleep or being dead. But this is all about coming out of those coffins and awakening. And here's children right here. You see children all around, but there's a masculine, the feminine, and the child here. But with this coming out in reverse, energy of wanting to avoid judgment for the blood sacrifices that they had made against the chosen, who would ultimately awaken from sleep and arise when that judgment, now that we are in the time of judgment, judgment is here for those, you know, on behalf of those who have done well and done righteous things, and on behalf of those who have done unrighteous things. Judgment is here. But with this coming out in the reverse, they're trying to avoid that judgment, and they try to offer this false love. They try to come in with all of these emotions, acting like they really have some sort of integrity, when in fact they're being manipulative. The Magician in reverse is dark magic as well, okay? Manipulation, okay? And overusing that manipulation, but holding back the truth here. And also being financially getting paid to do it, because we saw the practitioners are being paid. So it's all about the money. They're not worried about the people that they're affecting. They're only concerned their head, their heart, where they plant their feet. Everything about them is all about the money, okay? And so, yeah, that's crazy that Red Cross just came out. But we're moving on from this, okay? We're going to move forward to divine masculine and feminine. We will have our children. Okay, our children will be born in these divine unions, because that's one thing that they cannot stop. And so, you know, not every divine union is meant to have children, but those who are supposed to have them, in spite of the attempts of these wicked people and their agenda, they're going to have them. Okay, we are going to have our children. And I'm going to say we, because when my divine master comes in, we're going to go ahead and have another one. Okay, I will have 7 children. I already spoke it. So there it is, masculine and feminine with the child there, okay, because she's looking as if she has to protect herself or finally coming out of a very cold space, safe to move forward, safe and protected, okay? let me see, what is this fourth person? And then I'm going to close out, y'all, because this is really getting long here. But like I said, I hope that you all have received this message well. I'm going to see what this fourth person is, and then I'm going to close out. Fourth person is temperance in the reverse. There is nothing angelic about these fourth people, okay? They're actually the polar opposite of what angelic looks like, okay? So generally, the temperance in the reverse, you might be able to say it's the devil card, okay? These people are master manipulators, and they send these false people in. Look at this, the nine of cups in the reverse, very bitter people, very unhappy people are sent into that of the chosen, the divine masculine and feminine's lives, and they're all focused on, always focusing on materialism, but they hide themselves. They hide themselves behind masks, okay, and they pretend to be something that they're not, but you see she's in all red. She's all a part of the sacrifice herself, okay? And she wants to keep the masculine from knowing who he is. And so as long as he's attached to her, he wears a mask as well. He never steps forward to his divinity, okay? And so the Ten of Pentacles is here in the reverse with the Nine of Wands here. So this is that energy of holding on, being battered and bruised, going through it all with this false person here. And ended up, ultimately, they end up losing. They end up losing if you don't, as a divine masculine or a divine feminine, if you don't awaken to your, to who you are and to your purpose and heal, then you end up stuck with this false person. But ultimately, the karmic judgment that comes over the head of this false person is that they lose everything. So if at one point they had the Ten of Pentacles, they had it all. They had the big house. You know, they had the dogs, the cats, and all of that. They come into this Ten of Pentacles in rebirth, and unfortunately, if you continue to hold on, knowing that you've been beat up, battered, and bruised, being in this connection with this, then you end up taking on and bearing the burden of the karma that they have to deal with. And so I know that this is kind of taking, yeah, look at this, King of Pentacles in rebirth, that's taking many financial losses, okay? So the goal is, look at this. Come up out of sleep. Take the mask off. Come up out of this crossroads. Come up out of this drama and chaos, because this is what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to stay in these type of partnerships so that you never rise into your divinity and know who you are, so that you can ultimately go into union with your partner and establish judgment and justice the way that it's supposed to be established, awakening from sleep, divine feminine and masculine coming together to create a awakened, DNA-activated, Christ consciousness, Messiah, to be born through their lineage, and every child that they have, you know, will come through with that type of energy. But they want to keep you stuck. They want to keep you stuck. So just keep that in mind. Be very clear. You know, pay attention to who you're around and who you're allowing yourself to be with in terms of partnerships, but also be very aware of what the agenda is in terms of the medical industry and why they're doing these C-sections. If you don't have to get it, if you're not high risk, have your child naturally, okay? So that's what I got for you all. I love you. And if you want a private reading, you know you can always email me. Thank you all for all the beautiful donations. I'm telling y'all, you've been so generous. I'm just very grateful for you all. I love you. And I will talk to you all next time.
All right, guys. Powerful. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Yeah, very informative. Thank you to Sabi Zane for that one. For I wanted to learn too, right? So yeah, guys, again, this is about different perspectives. This is about expanding your mind, enhancing your awareness, guys. The video created so successfully in the show notes. If you need to contact me, my link tree is in the show notes, guys. So just to be aware and be mindful that although not giving it much energy as far as low vibrational or hate, because cosmically these things are going to be balanced, right? It's nothing that anyone is doing individually. On a cosmic level, there must be balance. And although this lecture is probably about a year old, I actually last week pulled a spread, a tarot spread, and the energy, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this energy? You know, it was real chaotic. I mean, it was around the full moon time. It was real chaotic. I was like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And I forgot exactly what I pulled, but I know I pulled the judgment card. I pulled, it was about their hidden agendas. There is, hold on, let me see, because I think I did another reading. Yeah, I think I did another reading, so I don't have the cards. Yeah, I did. But it was about hidden agendas, hidden motives, things being secretly seen, someone who uses their power in the wrong way, you know, and all this stuff, them being, like, angry and upset. And it was just a whole lot of chaotic energy, but in a kind of in a rebel-type way, you know what I mean? And it was just – that's just all that you would see just, like, with pretty much a lot of people, especially people that were unaware. And then most importantly in that spread was the judgment card. You know what I mean? So it's like judgment is here, judgment day, if you will, but it's spiritual. You know what I mean? And I always say to people, you know, again, this is nothing that somebody is doing individually. I don't feel, but I feel, again, that it's on a cosmic level. So if you know that, quote, karma and judgment is here on a cosmic level, why play with that? You know, there's a lot of games that we play in the shadows, you know what I'm saying? I get it. But going up against a cosmic energy that is giving us so many warning signs that it is time to balance, but we still want to do these evil things underhandedly, right? Underhandedly thinking that no one will ever know what the fuck it is that you're up to, guys. You know, I have great compassion for humanity, but, like, if you can feel my urgency in telling you this, like, it's not okay. And, you know, it's been going on a long time, you know what I mean? But when does it stop? And that time is now, okay? So, you know, many, I don't want to say you've been warned, but we've been warned, guys, you know, because that's personal shit with myself and getting myself together, too. But we have been warned, I'm sure, so many times. You know what I mean? This is a collective thing that we're growing through, all right? And it's not us against nature. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck goes against nature? Like, that I wrote the other day, that has to be the real definition of insanity. Like, we don't have no idea what the real definition of insanity is. You know, but there are energies that play with it. So, hey, it is what it is. I hope you enjoyed that podcast on that. You know, just kind of give you an spark to open your mind again. And most importantly, guys, we all have to come together, you know what I'm saying, in righteousness and balance. You know, yes, chaos is the fire that purifies it, you know what I mean, but to be aware of what's going on and also to be a living example of the change is going to be very important. All right, guys, till next time. Tomorrow, what do I have tomorrow? Sister Soul Sunday. Sister Soul Sunday, guys. As you guys know, the podcast now will be uploaded before noon every weekend, guys, because I come on randomly. This is my series, Ascension Symptoms, okay? And this is part 3, and it's going to be superpower. Superpower, all right. I put these shows together in advance, but I'm excited because I don't even know what I put together, but it is on my calendar for tomorrow. So join me tomorrow, guys. Love you guys. Until next time. Peace. I'm